the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercies. Thank you for your strength and power producing great results in our lives and situations. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for impossible things you have made possible unto us. Thank you for your visitation that we see, that we get, that we experience. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your honor you have placed on our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the battles you fought for us and gave us the victory. Thank you for fixing those parts of our lives the enemy has damaged. Thank you, Father. Thank you for filling us with your presence and with great joy and peace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for opening doors for us. Thank you for the opportunities you have sent into our lives. Thank you for a glorious future you have prepared for each and every one of us. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for your faithful commitment to this ministry. We thank you for the blessings we enjoy from you part time. We thank you for correcting us in those ways we have gone wrong. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for those who have been healed through this Healing Streams program. And not just healed, we thank you for how you have, through this program, revived people, enlightened people, strengthened people, delivered people. Thank you, Father. We are here this morning again to seek your face, to learn and to pray. O Lord, hear us from your throne. In the name of Jesus. You said, whoever come to you, you will by no means cast away. O Lord, grant unto us the help that we need as we avail ourselves in your presence. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for we know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to be looking at a topic I call Give God Something to Walk With. That's the topic. Give God something to work with. I want us to open our Bibles to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Verse 25. To 28. Luke chapter 4, verse 25 to 28. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, that is, in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, that is Sarifat. Yeah, we know the story. Unto a woman that was a widow. Verse 27. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus, that is Elisha, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all day in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Yeah, I believe you were following with me as I was reading from this passage of the Bible. In this passage, Jesus visited his hometown, hoping that they would receive him. But they found it very difficult to believe in him, even though they've heard about the signs and wonders he had performed in other cities and towns and villages and places. But here in Nazareth, they found it difficult to accept him and to believe him. Yeah, so he spoke in this way to their shame. Jesus spoke in this manner to condemn their unbelief and foolishness. Yeah, so he said there were many widows in those days. God sent Elijah to the widow of Zarephath. Yeah, so he was saying among many widows in Israel at that time, why was it only the woman in Zarephath? Or the Greek version was Zarepta. Yeah, that's the Greek version of the name of that environment the widow was living. The Bible did not tell us the name of the widow, but she lived in that area. Yeah, so Jesus was saying, why was it just one woman among many that got God's visitation through the prophet? Yeah, and then he went further to say there were many lepers. There were many lepers in the day of Naaman, of the country of Syria. Naaman was a general, an army general, or a soldier, high rank soldier. Yeah, but he was not the only one who had leprosy at that time. There were many people in Israel that had leprosy. Yeah, but none of the lepers in Israel were healed. Only a leper in a far place in Syria, which is not even part of Israel's country. I mean, Syria was not in Israel. Yeah, at that time, you can say it was. They see such country as a Gentile nation. A nation that does not have God, that does not believe God, that does not know God. Yeah, that is what they call a Gentile nation in the Bible. But this man, despite the fact that he was a citizen of Syria, got healing from a prophet in Israel, whereas there were many lepers in Israel, and none of them got healed from the prophet in Israel, but a far away leper in another country got healed by the same anointing that is in Israel. I don't know if you are getting my point. So Jesus was condemning their unbelief. Yeah. So which implies that the fact that God is in a place and is walking in a place, moving in a place, doesn't mean that the people close to that move of God will benefit. Which also implies that the fact that God is in this ministry and is working mighty things, helping people, blessing people, changing lives, doesn't imply that the people in this ministry will benefit from that move of God. So it has always been like that since the Bible days. Yeah, we have seen it from the scriptures that the closest people to the anointing usually don't get anything from the anointing. The closest people to the power of God usually don't get anything from the power of God. Yeah, sometimes it is some people far away. Yeah, who are not even close to that move of God. Sometimes those are the people that benefit. So what is God trying to show us this morning? I said the topic for those of you that newly joined, I said the topic is, give God something to work with. Give God something to work with. For instance, in the case of that woman, the widow in Zarephath, she gave God something, and God worked with that. She trusted God to the point that she decided to risk the survival of both herself and her son. She decided to risk it. Yeah, because the food they had left, they were planning to eat all at once and probably die after some days. Yeah, because that was the last meal they had left. Yeah. But then, here comes this man of God. He said, prepare small meal for me first. Out of this meal that is left for both of you, you and your son, prepare some for me first. And he gave a prophecy that surely this flour shall not run dry in the pot. And the same with the oil. And the woman was like, I'm sure the woman would feel like, what if this man, though I'm sure she would have heard about Elijah, because Elijah was famous in the land. Yeah, but still, she would have thought of, what if I did this and nothing happened? Maybe this man was just going to hit and run away. What if I give him part of this meal and nothing happened? But she believed God. So I am sure it was not a faith in the prophet that made her do that. I believe it was a faith in God that made her do that. Remember that God already told Elijah, he said, I have commanded a widow in Zarephath to feed you. So God already knew the heart of that woman. Yeah. So we know the rest of the story. She obeyed, gave the man of God the meal, and for a long time they were hitting because the flour refused to finish. And so was the oil. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so the woman gave God something to work with. If it were in this generation, some people will say, well, let God multiply the flour first before I will give anything. Let God multiply the oil. Why should I put myself at risk? Let God multiply the flour and the oil, then I will give you what you want. I mean, if it were in this generation, they would look at the people in this generation would look at the prophet sent by God and say, you know what? Let God multiply the flour and the oil. As you can see, this is just the little we have left. And we are even planning to eat this and die. So let God multiply, then we'll give you from it. Yeah, but that woman was not like that. I mean, she didn't act like that. She put God first. not her stomach first. She gave God something to work with. Yeah. And even in the case of Naaman the leper, that man, he had some resistance about following what Elisha told him to go and do. Yeah, Elisha said, go and dip yourself in the River Jordan 7 times, and then you'll be healed. It was like, of all the beautiful rivers, why is it that one that is dirty and not neat? And then why is that this man did not even give me any honor? He did not even come out to welcome me. He just sat down inside and told his servants to tell me to go and dip myself in one river, and I'll be healed. Yeah, but the servant with Naaman, the leper, they encouraged him. Why not just do what this man of God said? Yeah, why not just do it? So he obeyed. Yeah, so you can see faith in Naaman, and then you can see obedience in Naaman. Yeah, he had faith, and then he had obedience. The same with that woman, the widow. She also had faith, and she had obedience. Yeah, so God needs something from you to work with. Yeah, so you don't just sit down and say, let God come and do the miracle. No. Also remember the case where Jesus multiplied the loaves of bread and fishes to feed more than 5,000 people. Yeah, Jesus was asking that, what do you people have? Is there anything that I can work with? And then they gave him 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And that was enough. Yeah. And then there was another place Jesus said, if you have faith as little as a mustard seed, you will command the mountain to move, and it will move. Yeah, so there is always something you have to give God. Yeah, otherwise, God will be touching many people, and your own life will not be touched. Yeah, there is always something you have to give God to work with, to help you, and to bless you. And some of you might say, well, I've given God my faith. What if there is more God is asking from you? What about obedience? And then what about some decisions God wants you to take? What about some practical actions? What about some demonstrations? Yeah, because if you say you have faith, how much have you demonstrated that faith? How many hours have you waited on God in prayer? Because you believe. We wait on God because we believe. Yeah, and the longer you wait on God, the more you are proving how much you trust Him. So we wait on God because we trust Him. Yeah. And the longer you wait on God in prayer, in fasting, the more you are showing God and heaven how much you trust Him. Yeah, by refusing to give up, you are demonstrating faith. Yeah, so what if there is more God wants you to give him than just, I believe. God knows I believe. What if there is more? Yeah, so we have to give God something to work with. We know of people who locked themselves up. They locked themselves up in the room for days. And they told God, God, I will not leave this room until you have answered my prayer. Yeah. They switched off their mobile phones. They cut off every distraction. And then they went to God. They went to God in prayer. And they said, God, I will not leave this place until you have revealed something. Until you have given me a strong confirmation that you have answered my that my prayers have been answered. Yeah. And many of such people, they go to what they prayed for. Yeah, because they give God enough reasons to help them. Yeah, they moved the heart of God to action through their desperation. So what if God need your desperation? Yeah, so don't think divine visitation comes easily. Of course, there are some visitations that might not take much from you. I mean, visitation from God, but there are some other visitations from God that definitely will take a lot from you before it comes. Now, we're looking at 4 points under this topic. The topic says, give God something to work with. Point number one. God is looking for a light in you. Even if it's the smallest light you have left, God is looking for a light in you. Even if it's the smallest light you have left. Yeah, I remember I have shared with you an experience that happened to me some time ago while I was a student in the nursing school. I was going through a lot of confusion. And maybe you can call it a depression. A lot of struggles. Yeah, because many things were not just working well for me. Many things. Financially. Emotionally. A lot of things were not working well for me. Yeah, so I was expecting that God have to do something. I was expecting God to do something. Yeah, like I wanted God to do something immediately or at that moment I was going through those things. Yeah, but God did nothing. And I became frustrated. I was even expecting that God would maybe give me a vision, a dream, to encourage me, to comfort me, but nothing of such happened. I was even expecting maybe God would speak to someone and tell the and give a message, that person to come and deliver the message to me. But none of those things happened. Yeah. It was until I encouraged myself, praise the Lord. Yeah, until I sat down and encouraged myself. I remembered God's faithfulness. I remember that God has been faithful to me before. I remembered all the things He has done to show His care for me before. Yeah. So I now went to God with the right mind. No one said anything to me. No one counseled me. I counseled myself. I talked to myself. I encouraged myself. And now I went to God with that right mind. Yeah. And that was when God spoke to me. That was when God took away my confusion and depression. Yeah, so there was, I have to bring up a light that God can walk with. I don't know if I get my point. You know, this point we are looking at says, God is looking for a light in you. Even if it is the smallest light remaining in you, God wants to walk with that light. Because when I was confused, depressed, everything was darkness. I was consumed by the darkness because of what I was going through. Yeah, so I couldn't hear anything from God. There was no direction. There was no clarity. Yeah, because I let the darkness took over me. Yeah, but when I began to encourage myself in His Word, and I began to think on who God is and His faithfulness and how He has cared for me, then that light began to rise from within me. And that was the light God walked with eventually. And then He came to me and then made me to understand the situation in a way I wasn't understanding. Yeah, and that was how I came out of the problem. Yeah, let's look at John chapter 4. Verse 48. I'm going to read it from New Living Translation so that you will understand. John chapter 4, verse 48. Here, a man came asking Jesus to come to Capernaum, to heal his son, who was about to die. So in verse 48, Jesus asked the man, "Will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders?" Yeah, it was a question. Will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders? So many of us have this problem of believing God without seeing miraculous signs, without seeing wonders. And that is why your life is still limited. Now, must you see signs and wonders before you believe in Jesus? Before you will believe in the power of God? Yeah, Jesus could read through the mind of that man. Yeah, he saw the weakness in his faith. Yeah, though he had faith, but the foundation of that faith is weak. Yeah, because his faith is just based on signs and wonders. Yeah. He couldn't believe in Jesus beyond signs and wonders. Yeah, that is all he could believe is that once I know this man, wherever he touches, they get healed. Yeah, so that was why he was pleading with Jesus, just come and touch my servant, because he's about to die. Yeah, but there is more. There is more to Jesus. There is more to who Jesus is than the signs and wonders he does. There is more to who he is. There is more to his power. There is more to his kingdom. There is more to his greatness. Why can't we look for that more? Why can't we pursue for that more that is in Jesus? More that is in him. More of who he is. More of all that is in him. Why can't we seek for that more? Why have we chosen to limit our faith to signs and wonders? Why can't we choose to get more from him beyond signs and wonders? Why can't we choose to know who he is beyond signs and wonders? Why can't we choose to believe him without signs and wonders? So I found out that this is a practical way to give God something to work with, by choosing to trust God without signs and wonders. That is when you see no sign, not even in your dreams, not even in your vision, not even in your feelings. Yeah, because some people, they can't really trust God if they don't feel his presence. Yeah, their faith will be affected if they can't feel God's presence. because they have limited their faith to feelings or with feelings. So if they can't feel nice, just the way we feel good when you are in an atmosphere of the Holy Ghost. And there's a way you feel nice. Yeah. So, because of those feelings, the faith of some people has been weakened. So if they can't feel God's presence, they can't even trust that God is with them. Yeah. So faith, real faith, is that which is active and strong in the absence of signs and wonders. That is real faith in God. Real faith in God is that type of faith that is strong and active in the absence of any physical thing to encourage your faith. Yeah, even when you can't even feel God's presence. Even when you did not get any dream, any encouraging dream, or any encouraging vision, or you not even hear any voice from God, but yet you believe in Him. That is real faith in action. Yeah, some people will first ask questions like, this thing I'm praying for, has God done it before? This thing I'm trusting God to do, has it happened before? Yeah, if it has happened before, then maybe it can happen again. Yeah, so they can't trust God for things that have not happened before. So they're always looking for, has it happened to anyone before? Has God used anyone to do this type of miracle before? Yeah, so if they can't find anyone, then they can't trust God for such things. That is not real faith. In fact, that is not faith at all. Yeah, so you can see Jesus saying in this place, John chapter 4, verse 48, Jesus asks that man, will you never believe in me unless you see miraculous signs and wonders? Yeah, so Jesus is asking you the same question. Will you never believe in him unless you see miraculous signs and wonders? Yeah. Where is your faith without signs and wonders? Let's move to point number two. God is looking for his nature in you. God is looking for his nature in you. In John chapter 3, verse 6, it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. What does that mean? It means the things of the flesh will always reproduce flesh, just as if the goat will give birth to a goat like itself. If human beings get pregnant, human beings will give birth to humans like themselves, like themselves. Yeah, but God, when God gets pregnant, what will God give birth to? God will give birth to someone like himself. Because God is spirit. So that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So when we say born again, are you born again? You must be born again. It means God changing you into a creature like himself. It means God recreating you into someone like himself. And that person that you become through born again process is not a human, is a spirit. So you become a spirit when God gives birth to you. You become a spirit. Yeah. So now, if we want God to do great things in our lives and with our lives, we must accept that we are spirits, and we must come to God as a spirit, not as a flesh creature, not as a human creature, but as spirits created by God through Christ Jesus. As spirit beings created by God through Jesus. That is who we are. And that is how to relate with God. And that is the part of you God has as business with. Yeah, so God does not have business with your fleshly creature, which is this human flesh. God only have business with your spiritual being. Yeah, and in fact, everything God is doing to your body is not because of your body. It is because of your spiritual identity. I don't know if you're getting my point. Even when God heals you, God is not healing you because he so much care about your body like that. God is healing you because he cares about your spiritual identity. Yeah, because he knows that your body will help that spiritual person that you are to carry out his assignment on earth. It's not as if God cares about your body. That's not why he heals. Now, maybe you have not heard that before. God doesn't heal you because he cares about your body. It is because he cares about your spiritual personality, which is not according to this flesh, which is not human. Yeah. And God knows that your body needs to be in health for that spiritual personality that you have to be at peace and to have joy and to fulfill destiny on earth. So that is why God heals. Not because he cares so much about this human flesh. No. No. So if you want God to do his mighty works in your life, you have to give him spirituality. You have to accept your divine identity. That is because that is what God will work with. You have to appear to him as a spirit, not as a man, but as a spirit. So God wants to deal with you as a spirit, not as a human. Yeah, but many Christians, they are going to God as a human. And that is why they get nothing or they get less from God. God wants to deal with you as a born-again person, not as a human. Yeah, so that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So God is looking for his nature in us. And that is what he wants to work with in us. Some of you are going to God with human senses. You're going to God with human mind, human thinking, human wisdom. How will you expect to receive anything from God? Yeah, so you are always fleshly, carnal. All your thoughts, everything about you is just carnal, fleshly. And then you go to God with that kind of nature. You go into prayer with that kind of nature. And you think you will get anything from God? No. God will only work with your spiritual nature. So God is looking for his nature in you. I pray that the Lord gives you understanding. Now, because if you look at humanity, everything about human, it is completely opposite to everything about divinity, everything about spirituality. So the two are not the same. Read Galatians. It says the flesh and the spirit, they are always fighting each other. Yeah, so if you're trying to understand God through human reasoning, you will not get anything from God. You're trying to relate with God through human wisdom, human senses, human intelligence, you will get nothing from him. Yeah, but when you appear before him with that spiritual identity, yeah, that is so full of faith, so full of the word of God, so full of righteousness, so full of holiness, so full of love, then you will get so much from God. Point number three. If you embrace kingdom purpose, you won't lack kingdom power. That is point number three. If you embrace kingdom purpose, you won't lack kingdom power. Let's look at John chapter 5, verse 17 and 19. John chapter 5, verse 17 says, "But Jesus answered them, My Father walketh hitherto, and I walk." What does that mean? It means his Father has been walking, and that is why he also is here on earth walking. The purpose of God is what God is busy doing already. Yeah, it's not just what you are trying to do for God, like some people think. God's purpose or divine purpose is not just what you are trying to do for God. It's what God himself has been busy doing. Yeah, what he has been doing already. So this implies that even before Jesus came, God has been working concerning the salvation of mankind. God has been working a lot of works, invisible operations of God has been going on in the head concerning saving souls, healing the sick, delivering people from captivities of Satan and demons. So a lot has been going on even before Jesus came. And even while Jesus was in the head, the operations of God were still going on. So all Jesus had to do is to join the operation. Yeah. Let's look at verse 19, John chapter 5. Verse 19, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things whatsoever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise." Yeah. So everything Jesus sees God do, he does. So if we begin to do the same things God is busy doing through revelations and through direction of the Holy Spirit, if we key into the operations of God going on in the earth, we cannot lack the power of God. The power of God will manifest effortlessly. If we key into that which God is busy doing at this time, if we key into that which his kingdom is busy doing at this time, there's no way we will lack his power, because his power follows that path. The power of God follows the path of his purpose. I repeat, the power of God follows the path of the purpose of God. So if you don't apply your life to go in line with God's purpose for your life, you will lack God's power. No matter how smart you think you are, if you don't do things according to God's purpose, you will lack God's power. And then you might get frustrated. I've been doing this thing, I'm not seeing any results. Are you doing it according to his purpose? Are you doing it the way God is doing it? Let's move to the fourth point. Point number four, stop playing games with God. He can't be fooled. Stop playing games with God. He can't be fooled. Let's look at Jeremiah 17 verse 10. You can fool a man like you. You can deceive a man like you, but you can't do that to God. So stop playing games with God. Jeremiah 17 verse 10. How the Lord search the heart, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. So God searches the heart, and God searches the hidden motives in your heart, the hidden motives of your heart. God search your heart to discover your secret motives, to discover why, the why behind everything you do. You open your mouth to praise God. Why? Why are you praising God? You decided to fast. Why? You're asking God to give you this, give you that. Why? Yeah. So God, whenever you appear before God, God looks at your heart first before he looks at your mouth. Before he looks at your physical appearance. God looks at your heart first. He searches your motives. So if your heart, if something is wrong with your heart, it is advisable to get your heart right with God first before doing any other thing in the place of prayer. Otherwise, you'll just be wasting your time. You can't play games with God. Yeah, you can't. I've seen a lot of people thinking they can play games with God. And I just shake my head for them, because I know they are going away, and I know they are just wasting their time. Yeah, because God looks at our hearts first before any other thing, before you see anything in prayer. Why you are saying things in prayer, God is reading your heart, reading your intentions, reading your motives, reading your attitude toward him. And as you can see from the scripture, God is no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of persons. And that is why I fear him. Even as close as I am to God, I fear him. Because he doesn't even respect me if I think differently in a way that is contrary to his will. God is not going to respect that. He wouldn't say, because, oh, this man is very close to me. God doesn't respect anybody Yeah. He doesn't respect anybody. He has disciplined me in so many ways. Despite the fact that I think I'm close to him, though maybe I'm not as close to him as some other people, but I think I'm close to him. But even with that, he doesn't respect me when I am going in a negative direction. It doesn't show respect to me in that, or how do I put it? His respect for me does not cover my wrongdoings. Yeah. It doesn't cover my wrongdoings. If I do anything wrong, I'm on my own. And I should be ready to face the consequences. Yeah, so God don't respect any person. Yeah, but if we are in his will, of course, he's going to value you, he's going to respect you when you are in his will. But when you're outside of his will, forget it. It doesn't matter how much you have done for God before you went outside of his will. It doesn't matter how much money you have given to his work. He will not consider any of those things. I'm telling you the truth. He will not even consider that he has used you to do miracles, to help lives. He will not consider any of those things. He will just be looking at you. Yeah. He will not do anything. So he respects nobody. So that is why you have to fear him. So don't play games with God. Yeah, I keep repeating that. Don't think you can hack the process. Some people, they think the way you can hack a computer system, hack into a mobile phone device, they think they can just hack into the system of heaven and get what they want. It doesn't work like that. You can't just get anything you want out of the system of heaven. Even if it appears as if you got what you want, I must tell you that you got nothing. Or maybe I should say you got problems. Yeah. Even if it looks like you're doing well, even though your heart is not right with God. But physically it looks like you're doing well. Oh, God is blessing you. You're enjoying life. You should be scared. Because you're already in trouble. The moment your heart is not right with God, you're already in trouble. Yeah. And whatever glorious future God has planned for you is at stake, because it will not come to pass. Yeah. So our motives must be right. Your intentions must be right. Because that is what God looks at first every time you appear before him. Is searching our hearts. Yeah, so I'm going to stop here. Remember, the topic says, give God something to work with. Yeah, give him something to work with. So you should ponder on these things I've said. Look for where you are falling short in these things I have said so far, and get things right. You don't need to come and tell me this is what I was doing wrong before, and then now I have changed. It's none of my business. It is you and God here. Yeah, this is not about you and me. have nothing to do with your personal relationship with God. All I can do is to help you get closer to Him more. Yeah, so it is between you and God. So you go to God and get things right with Him. Give Him what He's looking for from your life. Give Him the light He's looking for. According to point number one, give Him the nature He's looking for. He's not looking for your carnal nature. God has nothing to do with your carnal nature. He's looking for your spiritual nature. Give Him that. He wants you to walk in the Spirit all the time, not in the flesh. Give Him that. Yeah, and not only that, find His purpose for your life. Get busy with His purpose, with fulfilling His purpose, fulfilling His assignment. These are the things God is looking for from your life. And then give Him the right heart He's looking for, the right motives He's looking for. You know these things. All of you here, you know these things. The right motives, the right intentions He's looking for. You want to do ministry. You want to do well in ministry. Why do you want to do well in ministry? You want God to use you to heal people. Why? Is it because of some self-centered motives? Is it because you want to make money through miracles that will happen through you? Or is it because you want to boost your pride? Why do you do everything you are doing? Why do you give to the work of God? God looks at the why first before whatever you do or give. Yeah, so let us get it right. And then we'll be sure that God will change our lives and bless us and deliver us and heal us, because we have already given Him what He can work with. You're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, I am sorry for everything I have done wrong in my relationship with You. See, Father, I want to get better. Help me. Now, see, Father, I am sorry for everything I have done wrong in my relationship with You, in my attitude towards You, in my motives, in my intentions toward You, in my character, in my actions. Say, Lord, I am sorry for everything I have done wrong in my personal relationship with You. I want to be better. Help me. Talk to Him like that. Talk to Him with your heart, from your heart. Say, Father, I want to be better. I want to do things better in my walk with You, because I understand that You search my heart even before You listen to my voice. You search my heart first. Say, Father, I am sorry for wherever I have gone wrong in my personal walk with You. I want to do things better. Help me. Help me. I hope you are talking to God sincerely. Say, Lord, I want to do things better. I want to do things better. I want to give you the things you want. I don't want to be all about what I want. But I want to give you the things you want. The things you want to walk with in my life. Oh Lord, help me. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. We have three more prayer points before I will pray for you and on your water. You're going to pray. You're going to say, in the name of Jesus, I cast out every spirit of darkness causing me to get tired of seeking God and of waiting on God, causing me, making me to get tired of depending on God, trusting in God. I cast out that spirit right now. Open your mouth and pray. Jahate shenesh degala. Neheshu jete de telesta. I cast out every spirit of darkness causing me to get tired in depending on God, causing me to get tired in seeking God, causing me to get frustrated concerning waiting on God and trusting in God. I cast out that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Every spirit that is telling me that I am wasting my time trusting God, wasting my time following God, depending on God, I cast out that spirit right now. In the name of Jesus, every spirit of darkness discouraging me from seeking God until I find Him, discouraging me from asking, praying, knocking the doors of heaven until God visits me, I cast out such spirit right now. Come out of my life right now. Come out of my mind in the name of Jesus. Every spirit discrediting the faithfulness of God in my mind, every spirit that is giving me wrong attitude towards God, I cast you out right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We have two more prayer points. You're going to pray. You're going to say, Holy Spirit, fill me with grace to believe and trust God, to believe and trust Jesus without seeing signs and wonders. Or maybe we should put it this way, before seeing signs and wonders, because eventually you will see signs and wonders. But God wants you to believe before you see signs and wonders. So Holy Spirit, fill me with grace to believe Jesus, to trust Jesus before seeing any sign or wonder. Open your mouth and pray like that. Thank you, Lord. So, Holy Spirit, fill me with grace to believe God and to trust God, even when my feelings does not encourage that. So, Holy Spirit, fill me with grace to believe God and depend on God, even when I get no dream or revelation or prophecy that will encourage me. Holy Spirit, fill me with grace to believe and trust God before seeing any miraculous signs and wonders. In the name of Jesus, fill me with grace to believe God beyond my emotions, to trust in God beyond my feelings, beyond my human senses, beyond prophecy, beyond visions, beyond dreams. Fill me with grace, Holy Spirit, to trust in Jesus before seeing any signs, even without seeing any signs. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. And then the last prayer point, you're going to pray. You're going to say, Holy Spirit, help me to always see myself as God sees me. Help me to walk with God according to my spiritual being, according to my spiritual personality, and not according to my human being, but according to my spiritual being. Open your mouth and pray like that. Pray like that. So, Holy Spirit, help me to walk with God according to my spiritual being and not according to human being. Help me to see myself as God sees me, because He sees me as a spiritual being. Help me to see God as God sees me. Help me to walk with God as a spirit and not as a flesh, not as a human, but as a spirit, so that I can get the best from God and His kingdom. Don't let me forget this. Holy Spirit, make sure I don't forget this, that my relationship with God is according to my spiritual being. Do not let me forget this. Help me to walk with God with such mind in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. So I believe you have your water ready. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for your grace that is always sufficient. Thank you for your power that has never failed and can never fail. Thank you for your glory that is upon this ministry and upon this meeting right now. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for all that you have exposed to us from your mind and from your word. I ask, O Lord, that in whatever ways your people are getting it wrong in their walk with you, O Lord, help them to get it right. Right now, in Jesus' name, I ask again, O Lord, help them to get it right. In the name of Jesus. Whatever it is that you are looking for from them that they have not yet given to you, O Lord, help them to give you what you want from them. What you want to use to liberate them. Help them to give you that which you want from them. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you that the seriousness God wants from you that you have not yet given, the commitment, the dedication, the discipline, the faith, the desperation, the sacrifice, the holiness, obedience, righteousness, purity God wants from you that you have not given. I pray that you receive grace now to give him. In the name of Jesus, receive grace to give God what he wants from your life. In the name of Jesus, I pray that even right now, the mercy of God speak for you. Let the mercy of God speak for you. Let the mercy of God speak for you. In Jesus' name. That which has been going on in your life for years and should have stopped by now, should have come to an end by now, I decree by the mercies of God that they stop right now. In the name of Jesus, the evil trend, the dark trend, the dark pattern in your life that have endured for so long, that has continued for so long, I terminate it right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I pray on this water you have presented before the Lord, that the hand of God touch the water right now. I pray that the power of God fill this water and walk through it to do special operations in your spirit, soul, and body. In the name of Jesus, let the fire of God possess this water and fill all your life as you drink it. In the name of Jesus, by the intervention of God, through this water, your deliverance shall be complete and your healing shall happen in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. Amen.